I've got a couple of people who are, according to the title of the of this particular thing I have, we're having bad days. It might be a little bit more than that. I think the we'll find is a common thread through this, and I'll point that thread out to you. Some of you might laugh at some of these, and some of you might be kind of like, ooh, but just bear with me on these. Listen to these. Having a bad day? Read on. There was a case in one hospital's intensive care ward where patients always died in the same bed on Sunday morning at about 11 a.m., regardless of their medical condition. This puzzled the doctors, and some even thought it had something to do with the supernatural. No one could solve the mystery as to why these deaths occurred around 11 a.m. on Sundays. So a worldwide team of experts was assembled to investigate the cause of the incidents. The next Sunday morning, a few minutes before 11, all doctors and nurses nervously waited outside the ward to see for themselves what terrible phenomenon was all about. Some were holding wooden crosses, prayer books, and others other holy objects to ward off evil spirits. Just when the clock struck 11, Pookie Johnson, the part-time Sunday sweeper, entered the ward and unplugged the life support system so he could use a vacuum cleaner. Having a bad day? The average cost of rehabilitating a seal after the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska was $80,000. That's $80,000 per seal. At a special ceremony, two of the most expensively saved animals were being released back into the wild amid cheers and applause from onlookers. A minute later, in full view, a killer whale ate them both. Okay, still think you're having a bad day. Well, a woman came home to find her husband in the kitchen, shaking frantically, almost in a dancing frenzy, with some kind of wire running from his waist toward the electric kettle. Intending to jolt him away from the deadly current, she whacked him with a handy plank of wood, breaking his arm in two places. Up to that moment, he had been happily listening to his Walkman. Okay, still thinking you're having a bad day? Two animals rights protesters are protesting that the cruelty of sending pigs to a slaughterhouse in Bonn, Germany. Suddenly, all 2,000 pigs broke loose and escaped through a broken fence, stampeding madly. The two helpless protesters were trampled to death. Are you what, still thinking you're having a bad day? Iraqi terrorist K. Rahajmet didn't pay enough postage on a letter bomb. It came back with return to sender stamped on it. Forgetting it was the bomb, he opened it and was blown to bits. Okay, what is the commonality here? Some of these people, they're just not quite getting the picture. Okay? Things are just, they're missing the main point. The lady doesn't see. It's a Walkman. She thinks she understands what's going on, but doesn't. And people, that's exactly what we're going to see in today's text. So please turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 25 through 59. I'm sorry. Yeah, 25 through 59. Gospel of John. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You were looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Who comes to me, he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. At this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he then say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, there will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God, only he who has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so that the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We come before you this morning seeking after that bread that gives eternal life. Lord, we ask that you would give us that bread now, that you would send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures, give us understanding, that we might eat real spiritual food and receive spiritual health from it. Now, Lord, lead us and guide us. I pray for your anointing and power to be upon me as I preach, that I may convey your truth in such a manner that each person here will not just get a glimpse of your truth, Lord, but they'll be able to taste it and they'll take nourishment from it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The people that Jesus is speaking about weren't getting it. They're kind of like some of those people in the stories that I read earlier. They're kind of like me last night. Believe it or not, sometimes I don't quite get it or don't understand. I think I know what's going on, but I don't. It's happened. Trust me. I know some of you are just aghast. Christopher, my son, just about fell down on the floor laughing last night because he couldn't figure out what I was talking about. He and his mother knew what they were talking about. I thought I knew what they were talking about, and my comments were making absolutely no sense to him. See, he was looking for having her look up a book for some guy whose name is spelled N-A-V-U-E, Navoo. I thought I heard N-I-V-U-E. I'm going, what's the N-I-V-U-E? What is that? European Union, unabridged edition, you know, NIV. And they're going, what are you talking about? They had no clue what I could... That's the same picture we have here with these guys. Jesus is talking to them, and they're off. He's talking about spiritual things. He tells them in the very beginning. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Okay? We're talking about spiritual food. Food that's going to feed the soul. He's not talking about bread. Even though he's using that as a metaphor. He's not talking about this stuff. A loaf of bread. This loaf is now actually a couple weeks old. Doesn't have any green stuff on it, but it will shortly. It will spoil. It will go bad. It's a little tough. It's still chewy. Anybody's hungry? You can have it. This is what the people think they're talking about. That Jesus is talking about. He's saying, I am bread. I am food. Something that we're going to sit down to dinner and eat. What Jesus is telling them is that basically, you guys are out having a tea party. You know, I had one the other day in the office with Brianna. And she poured me the tea and brought me the cup and I drank it. And we go, and Butch was there doing the same thing with us. And, you know, Brianna serve us. And you know, we go, how much nourishment did we get from that little tea party? None. It was make-believe. It's pretend. Well, what we found is that most of the people this is what they're trying to live off spiritually. All this pretend food. And Jesus is saying, you people are confused. You're not eating the right stuff. It doesn't Either you're eating this other stuff over here, which is going to spoil and go away, or it just isn't even worth anything. It's just pretend. This little carton says milk. Guess what? There's no milk in it. This one says waffles. Who would like a waffle? If you want this, you're going to go hungry if you try to live off this. So he's not talking about this kind of bread. He's not talking about this stuff, which is... What he's talking about is this stuff. The Word, the truth, the Bible. His words, himself, the life that he was leading then, the words of the prophet that spoke about him and told everybody, this is who's coming, be in watch for him. That's what he's talking about. But you see, the people are all confused. They're missing the point entirely. You see, the first question, they ask him, first, where have you been? How'd you get here? Well, they're just chasing after their appetites. Then they ask this other question, you know, well, what can we do to receive? Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? That question points out their self-sufficient nature and attitudes, their hearts. They think that they can do it. It's kind of like Brianna thinking that, well, what can I do to serve you some tea, Pastor? And she's getting me this. And she means it very nicely, but its basis in being nourishing or being just isn't there. Now, in the one sense, it does nourish our relationship, and it was fun. But as far as my physical body getting any nourishment from it, just no, it's all pretend. She thought she was doing something, though. And what I'm trying to point out here, and what Jesus was trying to point out, was their attitude of self-sufficiency, see, is you don't get it. Is you can't do it. What your job is just to believe. And I will do it. I am the bread, Jesus says. But they have... He says, believe in me. And then they come back with this, what have you done for me today type attitude, where they forget about... A lot of these people were there and ate the food that he had just fed them the day before, where he had broken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and fed the 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus all the women and children. And here he is. Here they are the next day saying, well, what miracles have you done? So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? They forgot what he did yesterday. It just kind of... Again, it's the attitude of self-sufficiency, the attitude of, what have you done for me today? And Jesus is trying to drive home the point is, you people are playing with a pretend tea party. And he, in fact, gets so insistent on this point that he tries to shock them out of it. And he talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. What is an intentional attempt to get them to say, hold it, what's he talking about? He is trying to offend them and their nature. There's nothing more offensive than drinking blood to a Jew. That it was one of the big parts of the dietary law that when an animal was killed, the blood had to be drained from the animal. You didn't eat blood. They didn't eat blood sausage. They didn't eat or drink blood. That was something that was done by the pagans. That was done in rituals to worship false gods, and they just wouldn't do it. It was as ingrained in them as they could say, and then to be telling them, you had to drink my blood. This was an attempt to get them to open their eyes and see that what he was talking about wasn't physical food, food for health of the physical body. He was talking about food, spiritual food, for the health, for eternal life. I mean, he said it plainly, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. What kind of food endures for eternal life? Does bread endure for eternal life? No. And he points out to them the manna from heaven, which God provided, not Moses, didn't provide eternal life. He said, but I provide eternal life. Everybody who the Lord brings to me, I won't lose a one of them. If you come to me and you believe, I won't lose you. It's an invitation to everybody. It's an invitation that says that you can't come without the invitation from God, but there's the invitation. Come. To each and every one. Of you, to me, to all of us. That He has real spiritual food. That food is, that flesh is the Word of God. That, you know, doing the works of God might be considered drinking the blood. I've kind of put this in my notes before. I've said, you know, that Jesus' blood was doing the work of the Father, obeying God the Father. That's what Jesus said, this is who I am, this is what I'm about. And His flesh, He is indeed the Word of God. If we take that in, if we believe Him, we receive eternal life. It is only by eating healthy spiritual food that we can have a healthy eternal life. That's the message He's trying to bring home. And they're all missing it. They're getting caught up in their own ideas. A lot of the people, this time there was a group called the Sadducees, who a number of the people in this group would have been made up of, who did not believe in the resurrection. And here Jesus is throwing it out, saying, well, the last day shall be lifted up. They shall be resurrected. It's against my theology. It's against my understanding of God. And Jesus is sitting there trying to say, I know it is, but you're wrong. You're confused. Believe in me, and then you will have your understanding straightened out, and then you will receive eternal life. This was a turning point in Jesus' ministry. He laid it out. He said, I have come from heaven. And they're all saying, how can you say He came from heaven? We know His parents. Well, if they went and asked His parents, they would have told them the situation. But But you see, he wasn't born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. And none of those people were there. The shepherds weren't there in this town of Capernaum. They were still tending flocks of sheep, or maybe even dead. Again, we're talking over 30 years later. So those people who witnessed his birth and the supernatural nature of it weren't there to testify. But it was nonetheless the truth. So we look at this and we see what Jesus is trying to do is bring forward a new understanding. Just as he spoke to the woman at the well and tried to bring up an understanding that, you know, she wanted that drink of water so she wouldn't get thirsty. And again, originally she was thinking of physical thirst. Jesus is trying to show, no, this is a spiritual thing. You need an upwelling of spiritual water within you. You need an upwelling of, you need to take in spiritual food to be healthy. And the food you are currently eating is not healthy, is what he's trying to tell them. So our question is, what spiritual food are you taking in? Are you eating healthy spiritual food on a regular enough basis to be healthy? Here it is, the Word of God. This is spiritual food. What else is the Word is spiritual food and lifeblood? Again, doing the work of the Father as the Father directs. Are you doing what God tells you to do, what you know He wants you to do? Or are you doing what you want to do? You want a spiritually healthy life. You need to take in spiritually healthy food on a regular basis, just as you need any. In order to have a healthy body, I need to eat healthy food on a regular basis. And here we are, Jesus telling us, take me, eat. Take me in and get your spiritual food from me. Don't get it from another source because you can't trust the source. In fact, that source is nothing but pretend food, or maybe even worse, it's food that spoils and doesn't even give the right kind of sustenance. See, this will feed my body, but it won't feed my spirit. This will feed my eternal body, my eternal spirit. Doing what the Lord directs me to do, believing Him first and foremost, and receiving Him, and then reading His Word each and every day. Doing what He tells me to do, when He tells me to do it. As He provides for me to do it. That is spiritual food. That's what you need to be doing. That's what I need to be doing. This is what we can take from this today. We can look at our lives and say, how much of what I am doing spiritually can be represented by that shopping cart? It's empty. There's nothing, no value to it. And how much of it can be represented as real food? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have sent Your Son Jesus to give us real food, to provide for our eternal health. Lord, that we can't receive that through other means, but we need to eat good, healthy, spiritual food, which is reading Your Word, praying with You, speaking with You, and then obeying Your will and doing Your works as You guide and direct. Lord, I ask that You would help each one of us here to eat healthy, both physically and spiritually. Lord, that You would help us especially to eat healthy spiritually, that we would take in that which makes us spiritually stronger, not that which will make us weaker. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.